Turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29. The book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah, the great Old Testament prophet called the weeping prophet. Oh, I'm sorry, kids. You can go. I was going to tell you to play, Carrie. Kids, you can dismiss. They're going to have class tonight. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet here. Sorry about that. And we're going to look at something here in the book of Jeremiah, and a statement, something that he said here, just for a very short minute tonight. Look here in verse number 11. This is a verse that's twisted and perverted and took out of context and quoted constantly by the charismatics, but it was God's message to Israel in the Old Testament, but you can still get a blessing out of it. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, you'll hear the charismatic preachers on TV take that verse all the time and use it and think that's Jesus talking to us in this age, and it ain't. But the Lord does want good things for us. There's no doubt about that. But just look at these next two verses. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." You say, "Brother Danny, I've already found the Lord. He found me. We found each other. Well, I don't need that no more." Well, you know what he's talking about. I've been saved since I was 18 years old, but I still need to seek him and search after him, his power, his blessings, his work in my life. So tonight, I'm going to talk about how to get our prayers answered. And I'm going to, get the ball rolling for us to have a church of prayer meetings and individual prayer between now and the camp meeting. People, if there's ever, ever, ever been a time, and I know preachers always say that, but if there's ever been a time we need God, it's now. Amen. We're absolutely, the world has absolutely come unraveled before our very eyes. The world has changed so much in the last year and a half, we'd have never believed it. But the good thing is God ain't changed. And the Bible ain't changed. And the Holy Ghost ain't changed. And his will ain't changed. So I want to do this tonight. I want to ask you to help me, and let's all do this together, buckle down and really pray for 4 weeks, for 4 weeks. Usually, I'll ask for certain people to fast certain days, stuff like that. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to leave that up to you. You do as the Lord leads you. And if God would lead you to fast a regular day between now and the camp meeting, or one day, or 3 days, or ever, whatever. Some people's done it the whole time. It's been done before. We've had people in our church fast 40 days. And for the glory of God, the only reason I knew it is because of the circumstances. And I would encourage you to fast. Them kids back there in that class tonight, hey, Lord, if you think about the world that they're growing up in. I'm telling you, y'all. And I mean, a lot of kids are in Christian school, homeschool, and all that. But, you know, as soon as they walk out that door, it slaps them in the face. You can't go in a store. You can't go in Walmart. You can't without just being slapped right in the face with the world, the world, the world. And they're going to need it. They're going to need it. They don't need me and you as parents, moms and dads, to let them down. They need us to hold up the banner, hold the fort, and do right. And I am asking everybody in here, it would be a good idea if maybe you ladies got a prayer party. You're close friends with somebody. That's between you and the Lord. I say, hey, let's be prayer partners. And you got kids in school, or maybe your husband goes to work, or maybe at night, every night at 10 o'clock, or every day at 12 o'clock, I'll be on my knees, you be on your knees, from 12 to 12:30 or 12:15 or something. Wouldn't that be something? There's no telling what the Lord might do. There's no telling what the Lord might do. Now, you know what? A lot of people come to camp meeting. We'll have a crowd. We're going to have a lot of people come. A lot of preachers come. And there are preachers right now that are discouraged, that are just, I mean, overwhelmed. Their preachers are in a mess. A lot of churches I go to, you got people, you got the leaders in the community saying, shut it down, shut down. You shouldn't even be having church. And you got other people saying, why ain't the church doing no good? And I mean, you can't do right. No matter what you do, somebody's going to gripe about it. Somebody ain't going to like it. And their preachers are coming here and they're going to say on their way here, God, give me something at that camp meeting. And they don't mean a chicken leg. We'll give them a chicken leg. But that ain't what they need. Most of them had plenty of chicken. A preacher's belt ain't nothing but a fence around a chicken graveyard. That's what they used to say. Old time back when all the preachers ate chicken, everything. That's all preachers ever ate for 100 years. They said the preachers dropped his false teeth in the well, and they couldn't get down there and get it out and everything, so they took a rope and lowered a chicken down there, and they went, got onto it like that, pulled them out. They're going to be coming, and we're going to try to have some good food for them. We'll give them a good meal. We'll have cherry yum yum or something for them for dessert, and iced tea and Pepsi and some bread. And you ladies do a great job of it. Bless when you go around them tables. Say, can I get you that? Can I pour you some more tea? All that. Man, that's so such a blessing to treat those preachers nice. And I thank y'all for that. And God will bless you for it. You know, if He blessed that widow for helping Elijah, and He set a cup of cold water, buddy. Listen, He'll bless you for helping with meals and stuff like that. But that ain't really the main thing they need. Some of them may be coming here saying, if I don't get help, I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue on in their pastorate. The average Southern Baptist church now keeps a pastor 18 months. 18 months. Now that means Methodists, they don't have a choice. The denomination moves them around. But that means about the time he gets that crowd figured out and starts preaching on their sin, they're ready to get rid of him and get him another thing fool for 18 months. Now, the independent Baptists are not that way. And I told somebody the other night, I said, the Southern Baptists, their churches, the people run the church and they run the preacher off. And independent Baptists, the preacher runs the people off. That's awful. Neither one of them is right. Neither one of them is right. So they're going to be coming to hell. And then there'll be people in churches that are just, I remember feeling like this myself. I remember years ago, I was going through a hard time. Good night, I was fighting battles. You ever get down where you think, good night, I don't know if I can keep going. And somehow I did, but you think, how am I going to keep going? I just can't do everything I'm supposed to do. Okay, it just piles in on you at once, and the devil jumps on you. And then you've had other stuff happen. And I remember thinking one time, they used to have a big camp meeting up there at Brother Lackey's in White Plains, North Carolina. And I remember thinking, if I can just get to that camp meeting, if I can just get to that camp meeting. Because when you're off like that and you go to a camp meeting, I'm not responsible for everything. I'm not responsible for being too cold in here. I'm not responsible for nobody working in a nursery. I'm not responsible for the... You just come and sit down and get a blessing. How wonderful that is. And I'd come and sit, and it would help me. So there'll be people like that at our camp meeting. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to give you a few things right quick. It won't take long, but we'll have. Number one, I'm going to ask you to do this, okay? You want to write these down maybe on right in the back of your Bible or on a piece of paper? Let's do this for the next 4 weeks, always, but especially the next 4 weeks. Number one, seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek Him with all your heart. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? Not a double heart, not a half heart, a whole heart. Lay it out. Now, what does that mean? In mine and your terminology, get down to business praying. That's what that means. How long has it been since you really got down to business praying? Now, I want to show you something. And how many of you people in here pray every day? You say you pray every day, raise your hand. Well, that's everybody in here, obviously. Everybody in here prays every day. Now, if I said how long, that might get a little embarrassing. Or how sincere, that might get a little embarrassing. But how can you search for the Lord with all your heart? I pray every day. I pray for certain things every day. My family, I have prayer lists, stuff that I go over. I pray for my cousin, uncle up in West Virginia and Ohio. I pray for our church. I pray for our family, my kids, my wife, everybody. Every day I pray, and I go down through there and everything. But then sometimes I find myself, I'm not praying this with all my heart. And I'm not talking about volume. You don't have to scream. It's okay to, but you don't have to. It's this Jesus, as far as I know, in the garden wasn't screaming. He might have been, but he cried out maybe a few times, but his sweat became like great drops of blood hitting the ground. So he was agonizing. He was praying with all his heart. I got thinking about this, and I thought to him, here's Brother Danny. Oh, Lord, I pray now for Carrie and Dax and Ethan and Kerrigan and Corey and all the family and all the ones and all the kids. I have a list of names. I go down the line praying for them all, bless them, how encourage them, bless them, encourage them, and all that. Now, that's praying, and I do that every day. I'm going to tell you something. One night I was coming down the mountain, and I've been up in Virginia preaching, and it snowed. When I come out of church, there was snow that deep on the road, and pouring the snow, big old flakes that big. And it's Saturday night. I said, I ain't staying here. I got to preach in the morning. I'm going home. And I was 3.5 hours from home, and I've put out that road, and I had to put my 4Runner in four-wheel drive before I ever even got out at Larry's, even out to the highway. And it got worse and worse, flakes that big. By the time I got to the big road, it was snowing so hard you couldn't hardly see. And I just kept, there was cars off this way and off that way. I just kept going on, going on, going on. My hands went into cramp, holding on the steering wheel too hard. Where I was holding on too hard. I paid attention, buddy. I paid it, and I drove all night. It took me, I probably took 4.5 hours, and I got to Asheville. It cleared up, and I got on this side of Asheville. Sometimes most on this side of the mountain, and I said, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm on the home stretch. And I got down the mountain, and it just wet, and I put the cruise control on, and it was black ice on the highway. And I said, I can finally go fast. I got up to about 60 or 65, and you don't want to hit ice, especially with your cruise control on, because it don't go off. When you hit it, you go, ring, right? And I hit a streak of ice about second exit back this way from old Ford exit up at the mountain. And, buddy, that thing, I went like this, and it went, whoo. And I said, oh, God, that's searching for him with all your heart. That's searching with all your heart. I screamed, God, help me. God, help me. And I went all the way around, and the bumper thing hit the guardrail. And I stopped. And I looked this way and that way, and there wasn't nothing coming. I put it in gear and turned around and come on home. And if it had been a truck coming out there, he'd wipe me out. Now, that's the difference in just saying, "How, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I pray you'd help Mama, help Daddy. God bless all the children. God bless the buddy." Uh-uh. I wasn't coming down there saying, "Lord, if it be thy will, save me from breaking my fool neck." Now, I said, "God, help me!" Listen, that might be the way we need to pray for camp meeting. That's with all your heart. That's with all your heart, brother. And I'm preaching myself under conviction, and a preacher ought to. A preacher that don't hit himself ain't doing much preaching. And I ought to repent when I put myself under conviction. And today I said, I've got to get down to business and seek the Lord. Ladies, how long has it been since you got in your prayer closet? Not with that stupid phone. Leave that phone in the other room. And I know you're going to DTs, some of you, and you'll start jerking and have allergic reaction and everything else. But leave that phone down for a while and get in your prayer closet and say, "Oh God, please help me. Help my kids. The Lord can do more. If we get a hold of God, y'all, just touch a hem of his garment. Holy Ghost come through here. Listen, he can fix more in 30 seconds then we can argue and fuss about and straighten out for a year.
That's right.
That's what churches need. That's what families need. That's what marriages need. That's what, you ain't gonna argue something out. Everybody claiming they're right. They're like a bunch of preachers fussing and fighting all the time. You know what we need? We need God to soften our hearts and have a neck hugging spiritually and get right with each other and get right with the Lord. Searching for him with all your heart. Now, the second thing I want y'all to do in the next 4 weeks is wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. This is extremely hard for me to do. I have a hard time waiting. Psalm 40 and verse 1 said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined and heard my cry. In other words, you ain't never going to get your prayers answered being in a hurry. And buddy, you talk about under conviction. I'm the first one here taller than I am guilty. You ever get one about Frankie's age when they're wanting to go play with the other kid and you're saying, now come here a minute, let me get shoes on. And he's a pulling like this the whole time. Wait just a minute. Let me get shoes on. Wait, just sit, put that foot up here. No, I want to go. He wants to go play with the other kids. And you say, hold on, let me get that shoe. We can't go out till you get you. Oh, and he's pulling the whole time. That's the way I am when I'm praying. Honest to goodness. I'm praying and I'm thinking, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Lord, can I go now? Lord, I pray that you'd help mom and dad. Lord, please let me. And honest to goodness, I feel myself pulling away because I want to do something else. That's awful. That's awful. You ain't going to get nowhere like that. David said, I waited patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord. In other words, you got to stay there for a while until you quit wanting to jump up. Then you can pray. As a matter of fact, you can't pray till you get like that. You can't run in here saying, our Father in heaven, I thank you for all you've done for us, and I pray you give all the kids a good day in Jesus' name. Amen. Going out the door. That's better than nothing, but you ain't much praying done like that. Going down the road, and dragging kids in the car and saying, I'll just do my praying while I'm driving. Get up out of bed and quit laying there all day long and get up and wait on the Lord for a while. You're never going to get your prayers answered. I've learned this two ways. One, I learned it because the Bible says it. And two, I learned it from preaching revival meetings. Many. I can tell you the times that I've been preaching. I'm in New York and in a motel. And I'd go in my room and I'd say, Lord bless the service tonight. Oh, man, I'm going to have ice cream tonight, And the service goes pretty good. And then it's dead. And nobody gets saved. And I get to the place where I said, ice cream or no ice cream. I don't care if I eat anything or not. I'm going to get down here and get down to business with God. Then the Lord moves in that service. It makes a difference. It makes a difference when we learn how to wait. Learn how to wait. Being in a hurry, you'll never get nothing from God. And I am under conviction because I am the world's worst of being in a hurry. I stay in a hurry. I live in a hurry. And I can't help it. I've always been that way. I have to make myself pace and slow down. It's very, very hard for me. Very hard for me. If I ever get confined where I can't go, somebody please shoot me. No, I'm just kidding. My mind will be going. But listen, it's hard. It's very hard for me. And that day may come when the Lord says, all right, buddy, I'll slow you down, put you in a wheelchair or something. That day could come, and I deserve it. But I want to learn how to wait on God on purpose, on my own, and wait upon the Lord, and wait upon him, wait upon him, and wait upon him, and wait upon him. And then about the time you think you're through, wait a little longer. And then about the time you think you're through, wait a little longer. Have you ever noticed the Bible said Jesus went out and continued all night in prayer to God? Why did he do that? He was perfect. He wasn't struggling with sin. He wasn't trying to overcome the devil. Why did he do that? That was the man part of him setting an example for us that we ought to follow his footsteps. Everybody wants to be like Jesus. Well, that's a good way to follow him. Pray all night. That's a good way to follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's right. You want to follow Jesus? You want to be like Jesus? Pray all night. You say, Brother Danny, that'd be hard. Yeah, it is. I mean, well, I've done it before, and not near as much as I should. When's the last time you heard a church announce an all-night prayer meeting? Ours is the only one I even know of. I mean, there probably are others, but I don't know any of them. I don't know a church anywhere that announces we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting anymore. You know why? We're so busy. We got everything we need, food in our refrigerator. Our kids are happy. We're all safe and healthy. Man, got money in the bank. What we need? I'll tell you, buddy, we're in bigger trouble than we realize we are. All this stuff with this coronavirus and everything. Listen, people, they ain't no telling what's going on that we don't even know about. They ain't no telling. There's no telling what plans are being made right now behind some closed doors. And I ain't talking about the White House. Somewhere way more powerful than that. Where the devil, the chief conspirator, is having his elite meet, and they're making plans for us we don't even know nothing about. So we better learn how to pray. You better learn how to pray. Wait on the Lord. And then let me say this. Here's another thing. Next thing we're going to do, the Bible says, ask in faith. Ask in faith. Don't say, Lord, I pray that you bless the camp meeting. Brother Danny said we should, but probably ain't. You probably ain't. So I'm going to do this anyway. That's no way to pray. Be like the little kid that said, it hadn't rained in about a month, and all the people was going to get out in the middle of the town, old town like Mayberry, and everybody's going to meet and pray. And one kid come out there with his umbrella and said, man, what are you doing with that umbrella? It ain't rain. He said, we're meeting to pray for rain, ain't we? He's the only one that believed it really would. And we need to ask in faith. And I'm not talking about something you have to work up. You shouldn't have to work it up. Have you ever seen the healers on there? Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I'm not making fun of nobody. I pray repetitive like that too, but you don't have to work it up. You either believe or you don't. You're not, who are you trying to convince? No, I'm not talking about a hype of noise. I'm talking about real faith that God will do what he said he'd do. Ask in faith. James chapter 1, he said there, If any of you lack wisdom, you know, let him ask of God, giveth all men liberty, and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For a double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways. So, and that hits me too, boy, because I say, Lord, please do this. Lord, please do that. And then I think, I don't know if he will or not. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. And then I start thinking, he counts the stars like they sing. One and all, he knows the sparrow that falls. If God's able to make the whole universe, he's able to meet mine and your needs in our heart. He's able to help us. So ask in faith, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It's in the book. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He can, God can. God can do anything but fail. And so don't forget that. Next thing, remember this. Number four, write this down. Ask according to God's will. Ask according to God's will. 1 John 5:14, we need to ask according to the will of God. In other words, when you pray, yes, now obviously there's certain things you automatically know are the will of God and certain things you know ain't the will of God. Like you shouldn't say, Lord, if it's your will for me to get drunk right now, there ain't nothing to pray about, buddy. He don't. Waste your time. Shut up. Don't pray about stuff. You don't pray for stuff God done said don't do. Some people live in some kind of sin, and then they try to get God to put his approval on it. He ain't going to do it. Not for me, not for you. God ain't going to put his approval on sin if everybody in the world bucks on him. He ain't going to do it. He's holy. You're not going to bend him to your way of thinking. You're going to give in to his way. He don't bend to agree with us. We bend to agree with him. Amen. I don't come and say, Lord, if you could just see it my way, we could really do this. No. I don't have that attitude. My attitude is, God, I'm dumb. I'm just a child. I know not how to go out or come in. Lord, please help me. I'm ignorant. Little baby that don't know nothing. God help me, have mercy upon me. If it could be your will, da 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 da. There's certain things you don't have to worry about. You don't have to pray about reading the Bible. You don't have to pray about living right. You don't have to pray about church. You don't have to pray about drinking. You don't have to pray about whether it's right for you to shack up. You know it ain't right. You don't have to pray if it's right for you to take drugs and get high. You know it ain't right. You don't have to pray about if it's right for you to tell a lie or cheat somebody. You know it's not. You don't have to pray about things that are obvious in the Word of God. Some people are asking for blessings when really they might should be asking for a spanking. You know? Lord, I've been mean. Would you whip me? You know, you say, no, I ain't going to pray that. That's awful. I don't want to pray like that. But we're always saying, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. It might not be, we might not need no blessing. Might need a whooping once in a while. So say, Lord, if it be a will. Now, there's a lot of things that the Bible don't say, like buying a car or a house or something like that. There's nothing in the Bible that says, so you're supposed to live in a certain kind of house or on a hill or in a valley or stuff like that. And you have one in mind and say, Lord, if it be your will that I buy that house, show me. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Get yourself head over heels in debt to impress other people. Just say, Lord, if it could be your will for me to have a truck to get back and forth to work on, do my work with, that's totally good, totally fine. If it could be your will, that car, that house, that job, that where you want to work, Lord, if it could be your will. Because the Bible don't say, there's not specifics in that. But when it comes to other things, you don't have to even wonder what his will is. You don't have to pray, Lord, if it's your will, make me a soul winner. It's his will. It's his will that we all be a soul winner. It's his will that we all witness. It's his will that we all give. It's his will that we all participate. It's his will that we all try to live a godly life. Of course it's his will. But pray according to God's will. You can say, Lord, Lord, your will be done about the singing at the camp meeting. Your will be done about the preaching at the camp meeting. Sometimes there's a lot of pressure on a camp meeting. Lord, somebody supposed to be coming to sing, the Lord might start moving and take over and something else be going on and they may not even get to sing. Then they get mad and they ought to say, God's will be done, right? Preachers too. I've seen preachers get mad because the Lord moved in, they didn't get to preach. And then I've seen others say, hey, let it go, preacher. If I don't get to preach, that's fine. Let the Lord have his way. And we ought to be flexible enough when we come to the church to say, God, your will be done. And if it includes what we won't find, if it don't find, God's will be done. Let the Lord have his way. Amen. That's why we don't have a program here. We have a certain way we try to do things, but you know, sometimes we do it the other way around. Sometimes we have an invitation on the first of the service. Sometimes we don't even have somebody preach. Sometimes we sing one song, then preach. I mix it up a little bit. Don't have the same thing. Heard one preacher say, we want to do something different at our church. We're going to have the choir march in backwards one Sunday morning. Our choir don't march in. They jump up. But ask according to God's will. Then the next thing, write this down. Set our love and affection on the Lord. Psalm 91:14. You have to love him first. You have to love him first. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. I am under conviction again. How many times do we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength? Whew. Oh my goodness. You say, Brother Danny, I can't. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Surrender to him. Surrender to him. Don't hold on to nothing. Surrender to him. He ain't going to hurt you. He said, my goodness, if I did that, I'd do. I'd he ain't no telling what he'd want me to do. He ain't going to hurt you. One thing for sure, God's not going to hurt you. Set your affection on the Lord. You have to love him first. The only way you're going to love him is shut the door on the world. Listen, if you're leaving that door open for a little music that ain't right, you ain't shut the door. Or you shut it and opened it back up a little bit. If you've left that door open for a little bit of music, and you can call it Christian, whatever you want to, because by a so-called Christian performer, but it ain't Christian music. Even if it's got Christian words, it ain't Christian music. You know it ain't. If you leave that door open, that just gives, if you just like you leave that door open right over there tomorrow, bugs will come in that door. I don't care if you leave it open that much. A snake can get in that much. If you don't shut the door on dirty movies or stuff you watch on it, I don't know a lot about it. A little bit I do now. But they say this TikTok thing is absolutely destroying our kids. It's the most wicked, ungodly, filthy thing. And I don't know if everybody has that. If you have all your data on your phone, you automatically can get it. I don't know. But I know one thing. It ain't of God. It ain't of God. And I'm not even sure how you get on, how you can put a, they put a video of their self doing something or saying something or singing or acting stupid and all that stuff like that. You leave that door open, son, the devil will get in your heart in a heartbeat. He'll get in your heart in a split second. Set your affections on God. And then the last thing, and I'm through, is abide in Christ. I probably should have said this first. But John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. That's a good promise for us. If you abide in me, what does that mean? Well, just live like you're supposed to live. Don't live for the Lord on Sunday and the devil on Saturday night. Abide in him. Stay hooked up. Stay tuned in. Stay plugged in right. Stay that way, and you can ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. All right? Here's what I want us to do tonight.